What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network programmed with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
Thank you for tuning in to Tomorrow for the weekend of May 25th, 2018, this Memorial Day weekend. So please do remember our fallen troops. I am Dave Graveline.
I'm Eddie Palermo.
I'm Chris Graveline.
Ah, yes, indeed. If you weren't with us the first couple of hours, first of all, shame on you. Where were you? We missed you terribly. But Eddie Palermo, a new voice here in the studio with Into Tomorrow. Glad to have you if you'd like to be had.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure. And your smile comes across on the air, so keep smiling. That's a good thing. Chris hasn't scared you away.
Not at all.
Oh, very good. Yet. It's Tech News and Commentary in this first segment, and we'll jump to more of your calls and hopefully help solve your digital dilemmas.
Sony's new CEO, John Kodera, has announced the PlayStation 4 era could be near an end.
Whoa.
He said the console released in 2013 was in the final phase of its life cycle. Despite being hugely popular, there are signs of PS4 sales slowing down. The announcement has hit some gamers pretty hard. More than 76 million PS4s have been sold since it was released, but last year sales were down from 20 million units to 19 million units. But while console sales are down, people are still buying more games. And that's one of the reasons Sony is thinking of releasing more games exclusively for the PlayStation. And for those holding out for a clue about a PS5 release date, there was this quote from Mr. Kodera. He says, "We will use the next 3 years to prepare the next step, to crouch down so that we can jump higher in the future." Now, that could possibly mean that a new console that gamers are waiting for could be released after 2021.
Wow. And you got to figure, well, why would they wait 3 years? Well, how about because they have to have game developers have time to develop some games for a new console? And we have to crouch down before we jump higher. So I wonder if the new system would be a jump system or a crouch system. Probably not. But it does make you wonder, why so long? And first of all, they're not happy with selling 19 million units?
Well, they sold a million less than they did the year before, so I guess not.
Time to go out of business. Time to shut it down. Only 19 million purchases. It seems to me like the time to really worry is if they're down to two. Yeah. Not million. Two units were sold last year. Then, okay, give it up. But my gosh, they're far away from that. And imagine the folks that are developing games now for it are thinking, oh, great, they're shutting it down, the PS4. And is this going to be something that we better hurry up and get the game out? It might not be exactly what we want. And, of course, the embedded base, still a whole lot of people with the systems.
And, if he's sort of teasing a three-year timeline, that there's not going to be a new system for at least the next 3 years. So for 3 years, your games are still going to be relevant.
Well, there's that, I guess. I don't know. Not being a gamer, they lost me anyway.
Yeah.
What can I say? Are you one of the many that have purchased a smart speaker lately? Well, smart speaker ownership really appears to be taking off. According to the latest report released by Parks Associates, ownership of the smart speakers reached 27% of broadband households in the U.S. during the first quarter of 2018. That's almost double the 15% in quarter three of 2017. So there are a whole bunch of smart speakers, and more people absolutely are using them and enjoying them and having them do their job.
You're listening to Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline.
Thank you, Alexa. We always appreciate you listening and monitoring and spying on us.
She always hears.
She hears everything.
Now, speaking of smart speakers, TiVo announced that its newest lineup of set-top DVRs, including Series 4, Series 5, and Series 6 devices, as well as the TiVo Bolt Vox, will gain support for Amazon's Alexa Virtual Assistant by June 1st, probably by the time you've heard this. Once the new firmware arrives, TiVo subscribers with the Alexa app or an Amazon Echo smart speaker will be able to change channels, adjust television and AV receiver volume, and more with their voice. The new TiVo Alexa skill will recognize playback commands such as pause, play, fast forward, and rewind, in addition to channel switching shortcuts like Alexa, go to ABC, and Alexa, watch NBC. This will also support app launching. Users will be able to open Netflix by saying, Alexa, open Netflix, for example, and platform-specific TiVo features such as commercial skipping and 8-second rewind.
Whoa. Now, that can be very handy. And again, why not?
Yeah.
We have the technology. Utilize it. And along those lines, Apple has begun teasing their fans about some upcoming updates to its Siri personal assistant.
You're listening to Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline.
Thank you. My gosh. Thank you, Siri. But check out what may happen. They will include more advanced automated intelligence. And even a new Siri voice. It'll be my voice. No, it won't. Apple said that they'll talk more about these possible updates, air quotes, at a gathering in San Jose in June. And we'll bring those to you as they announce such updates. But something coming to Siri that's going to maybe change your life, or part of your life, perhaps.
Foxconn, the Chinese company that builds iPhones, said they will work with Wisconsin universities to help further develop smart cities. The company is planning to invest $1 million over the next 3 years in these efforts. This will be part of a competition titled Smart City, Smart Future, and will fund and guide top smart city ideas.
Well, that's kind of cool. I mean, smart cities are certainly around the corner and into tomorrow. And now the folks, as you mentioned, that build the iPhones, Foxconn, working with some universities in Wisconsin, everybody has a lot of great ideas. Maybe these will be among them, and we'll see what they come up with. Unless it's like it's got a all smart city will only work with an iPhone, in which case I'm not interested. I won't move to that city.
Amazon is reportedly blacklisting customers who abuse the site's lenient return policy.
Uh-oh.
A spokesperson for the tech giant said, "We want everyone to be able to use Amazon, but there are rare occasions when someone abuses our services over an extended period of time. We never take these decisions lightly, but with over 300 million customers around the world, we take action when appropriate to protect the experience for all of our customers." Now, the statement didn't make clear what the violations were or what kind of action the company has taken. Amazon also did not reveal how many customers it had banned over the return activity. Former Amazon employees say that the company shuts down accounts when users request too many refunds or violate other rules that create a burden for the company.
And I don't blame them for that. I mean, they make more money than anybody on the planet, it seems. But the fact is, when you have customers that abuse those things, and I'm sure it's at a certain amount and certain level, or, okay, this is the 20th thing this month that we've returned for them. You got to figure, why are they ordering all this stuff if they're just going to return it?
Exactly. You know, and it's a good thing they're doing this now and not, you know, a couple of years ago, because, you know, when I was married, you know, my ex-wife was famous for doing this at stores, too, buying several things because she doesn't know what she would like and then get in and just return what she didn't want. I was constant, and she always used my Amazon account, so I was constantly having Amazon returns done on my account.
I hope she doesn't have access anymore.
No.
Oh, good. Because that could become an issue.
So if they did this a few years ago, I probably would have been banned from Amazon.
Oh, no doubt. And again, there are brick and mortar stores that have the same issue. It's like you keep bringing things back. You know, can we help you decide what you need so that you don't keep returning things? Because, of course, it's costly to return stuff for the company. Because they've got to repackage it, they've got to test it, make sure it's still okay. It just didn't fit on their shelf, or they didn't like the color, or, oh my gosh, all these things you can determine before you order.
And it is true. They were saying they do have a very lenient return policy. I think that's why so many people have taken advantage of it, because they will take pretty much anything back for any reason and issue refunds.
Yep, true. Boost Mobile founder Peter Atterton has spoken out against this $26.5 billion proposed T-Mobile Sprint merger, arguing that Boost and MetroPCS should be spun off from parent companies Sprint and T-Mobile, respectively. Atterton, Art, you didn't know that, maybe, huh? That Boost Mobile is really Sprint, and MetroPCS is really T-Mobile.
I knew MetroPCS was T-Mobile. I didn't know Boost was Sprint.
Yeah, how about that? Atterton argues that the merger would be bad for the prepaid market and that the combined company would have a significant incentive to restrict network access to their customers. And along those lines, the opportunities that 5G will create have built optimism for the major communications companies, with AT&T CEO John Donovan reporting that he's unconcerned about Sprint and T-Mobile merging. Yeah, right. Due to the 5G potential, he also notes that AT&T will not contest the merger, he says, saying that each of us has embarked on a path that's different enough that there's nothing a rival can do that's going to hit our sweet spot. The thing I got out of that is AT&T has a sweet spot.
They do?
What the heck does that mean? And their CEO says, any rival can't touch our sweet spot. Well, good for you. But that's why everybody I know has left AT&T.
As you say, the only thing sweet I knew about AT&T was when I was able to port my number from them to T-Mobile.
Right. I remember you saying, sweet.
And then when I dumped their other service, DirecTV.
Yeah. There you go. But that's okay. We'll let their CEO believe they have a sweet spot that nobody can touch. Mm-hmm. Ronnie in Grand Saline, Texas, listens on KTBB. Welcome into tomorrow.
I'm a cord cutter. In 2015, I got rid of my satellite TV, basically because I didn't like their service, their program packaging, or their programs.
Good.
However, I do miss watching CNN and Fox News. Is there any way to take and retrieve those programs without having to take and get satellite again? And I live in the country, so I do not have internet.
Well, Ronnie, first of all, I'm glad you're fair and balanced, watching both Fox News and CNN, but your channels have to come from somewhere, obviously. You already know that. You can't see them over the air, so your choices are internet and that satellite service, unfortunately, that you canceled.
Yeah, now, if you are able to get internet access somehow, there are services like YouTube TV and Hulu Live that will give you access to those channels for less than a typical satellite TV subscription.
Much less.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you need to access those particular channels through some kind of paid service, and it will be delivered by means other than free over-the-air TV. Now, having said that, if you happen to have a smartphone and decent signal where you live, you can probably pay for a subscription and watch it on your phone.
That's true. And use a $35 Chromecast and cast it to your TV. And that might be a solution for you, Ronnie. So we hear you, and I absolutely understand that. A lot of folks have said the same thing, not only about news channels, but Discovery or some of the things that the Animal Planet or things that they used to love to watch. But cutting the cord lost those things, not entirely, because like you've got them with your current Zulu set up, right?
Or Hulu.
Hulu. Yes, yeah, Zulu.
I've got the Hulu Live, but of course I've got high-speed internet.
Well, you need to look into Zulu. Because.
But Ronnie, not having high-speed internet at his house, can't really use Hulu unless he's using it through a smartphone. But
right.
The other thing you've got to keep in mind, Ronnie, is if you go with one of those services on your cell phone, that you will be using a lot of data.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to make sure you have an unlimited data plan.
If there is such a thing left on the planet.
And even most unlimited, quote-unquote, data plans will only give you a certain amount of full-speed data, and then they throttle you way down to a speed that's too slow to be able to watch videos.
Yeah, so that could then end up being a problem, too. One thing you might want to consider, though, would be HughesNet. Not just because they're a sponsor of the program, but look into HughesNet. Text the word radio to 35,000, and they're going to tell you, we've gotten great coverage. We've got a HughesNet system here, along with fiber, but we've been getting 35 to 40 meg downloads. And that's what counts. You don't need the uploads to watch TV services. You just need the downloads.
And when we had Comcast here, the fastest we would get on a good day was about 20.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they beat Comcast without a doubt. And that was not a problem. But you might, Ronnie, look into that, too. Because at the very least, check the pricing and find out what's involved in getting HughesNet satellite internet. But now, keep in mind, you're actually going 23,500 miles into space in a satellite in geosynchronous orbit, and then 23,500 miles back. So there is a little bit of lag time, not a whole lot. I mean, if you're a gamer, you don't want to play online gaming. You'll be killed constantly. Because the upload speeds on purpose are not very high. But you're not going to be uploading. You're simply downloading. And you need maybe 5 to 7 or 8 meg for streaming video, generally.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get 20, 30, 40 like we get and do it via satellite, that might be his solution. Since he's out in the country and doesn't have otherwise access, and I don't blame him. Give that a shot.
And many of these services like Hulu, you get, even with their basic accounts, you get the ability to watch it on multiple TVs. You'll usually have about 2 TVs. So even with those speeds, you have enough to get 2 separate streams on that data and be able to watch it in 2 things in 2 separate rooms.
Good point. So in the long run, as we answer Ronnie's question, that may be his solution. Again, just text the word radio to 35,000, and they'll just simply respond with a nice link that'll get you all the info you need. You'd punch in your zip code and things of that nature, and it'll just give you options. IntoTomorrow.com is where we'll meet you. Had to rhyme.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-461-3151. That's 1-800-461-3151. Again, 1-800-461-3151.
Years ago, the internet was an escape from the real world. Well, now the real world seems to be an escape from the internet. Go figure. I'm Dave Graveline. You're tuned into tomorrow on this Memorial Day weekend. Please be sure to remember our fallen troops throughout the weekend. And when you're enjoying your barbecue and your beer and your burgers and everything else, hopefully it's not raining as you can have your barbecue. Take a moment to reflect on Memorial Day weekend, won't you? Erasmo in the control room and here in the studio with me.
Eddie Palermo.
And Chris Graveline. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be chatting with Brad Hinsey. He's the Senior Director of Product Marketing for a company called Control 4. They're a global provider of automation and networking systems for homes and businesses.
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. Text radio to 35,000. That is text radio, RADIO, to 35,000.
It's time for our Evolve History Major. IFA is one of the largest and oldest tech shows in the world. With this week's look back at IFA's historic past.
Here's Chris Graveline.
History, IFA history, history, IFA, IFA history.
Since the compact disc was such a huge success, the industry tried to develop the technology further. A photo CD for pictures, an interactive CDI, and a CD video format for up to 74 minutes of video were developed, but the capacity was limited at 900 megabytes. So the industry jointly worked on a new system, based on the CD technology, but with much higher capacity. In 1995, the digital video disc, sometimes also referred to as digital versatile disc, with a capacity of 4.7 gigabytes, was defined, nearly double that capacity in a double-layer version. Of course, IFA was the stage for this new DVD technology.
Oh, yeah.
That's this week's IFA update, brought to you by Messe Berlin. Be sure to visit ifa-berlin.com.
And be sure to stay tuned. The first couple of weeks of September, we'll be bringing you our 17th year of coverage from the big IFA show in Berlin. Always cool stuff introduced there.
And it was funny that the DVD was released at IFA in 1995, because that was later in the year. And then January of 1996, on our very first show, that was what we were talking about, this brand new format called DVD.
I know. And you mention that now, and people say, my gosh, you guys are old. Well, yeah. The show's been around 23 years, of course. And look at the stuff that we've covered in those 23 years, starting with that new thing called DVD.
So you get people like, what's a DVD?
I know.
Or, what's a cassette tape?
I know. I wonder if Eddie knows what a record is.
Of course.
Of course you do. Well, you're an audio guy, so that's why. But, you know, a lot of people his age go, vinyl, what? I have vinyl seats in my car. Is that what that? No, it's not that vinyl.
I still think the funniest thing was when I had my son in storage and I found an old cassette player with a
Wait a minute. You didn't keep him in storage.
No,
you made it sound, when I had my son in storage.
I had my son with me. I was going through a storage unit to get something out of it.
That's better.
Christmas decorations.
Okay.
I found a cassette player with a tape in it and the battery still worked. So I started playing the song and he looked at me. He's like, wow, what's that? I told him what it was. He goes, you mean when you were younger, you couldn't just tell your phone what song to play?
That was classic. That was a typical Cameron.
Now, you have a tech question? Call us anytime, 1-800-899-INTO, 1-800-899-4686, or even better, use the audio option on our free Into Tomorrow app. Call in, win stuff. Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, how can somebody not call in when they hear Cameron asking you to call in and win stuff and giving you the numbers?
1-800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686.
Soon, we're going to have Eddie memorize the numbers so he can give them out as well. That'd be awesome.
The Cool Into Tomorrow Hot Summer Giveaway.
Well, while the hot summer giveaway is almost starting, we've got other cool prizes. In the meantime, when you participate on the program, you automatically win. For example, what have we got these days?
From Vogue Duo, we've got an AQZ 30-watt car charger with two USB-C outlets and low-voltage warning.
From Riolink, 1080p wire-free, battery-powered indoor smart home cameras to share with you.
From True Medic, we have an Insta Shiatsu head and neck massager.
Oh, and it feels so good.
Oh,
it really works well. Gets rid of all that stress.
From Bits Limited, we've got some of their mini squids. These are travel-sized, surge-protected power strips with two USB charging ports.
I got to tell you, I will not travel without my mini squid because it plugs in everything. I need only one plug in the hotel, and typically that's all you get at a nightstand. And I've got everything powered. It really makes a difference.
From Yale, we've got an Assure touchscreen deadbolt lock.
And from Tablo, we have a Tablo Duo Pull Home Over-the-Air DVR for cord cutters.
Yeah, it's a great way to get all the stuff over the air, unlimited, uncompressed, and really good with this Tablo Duo. More from intotomorrow.com.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What's next? Rising inflation, drops in the dollar's value, some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? We know you can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins and an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they're a true wealth asset that have real value. During the three-year recovery period after the crash of 08, the Dow only went up 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 855-662-6533 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny and call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-662-6533. That's 855-662-6533. As in any investment, the price of gold and silver may fluctuate over time and you could lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
Do all your electronic devices work the way you do, and you don't care whose logo's on it? Does your tech sometimes let you down? No, no way, right? Not a chance. Well, you can call us anytime here at Into Tomorrow. We will help you with any digital dilemma that you may have. We've been doing it for 22-plus years now. We'll continue to do it until they catch us. I'm Dave Graveline. Thanks for tuning in to Tomorrow. Hearing from you makes the show. Your calls, your participation on the program, help for other listeners, sharing with us some tech rage, perhaps, even what your favorite app is these days, makes a big difference on our program because hearing from you is what it's all about. Plus, it warms the cockles of our heart when we hear from you. So do join us. The best way, of course, the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app, or the old-fashioned way still works, toll-free from anywhere in North America, 1-800-899-INTO. Trust me, if you've never done it, I hold your hand through the process. It's fun, really. And if you haven't done it in a while, what are you waiting for? We want to hear from you again. That's 1-800-899-4686, anytime, 24/7, at your convenience. Our next guest joins us from a drone mapping software startup, informing us how drones can help in all kinds of disasters. He's the CPO of a company called Drone Deploy, John O'Millen. John O, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for the welcome, Dave.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. We certainly have had our share, I say we collectively in the U.S., especially lately, of various disasters and catastrophes. And I mean, I'm in Miami, so of course we had Hurricane Irma. We've had other issues in the Caribbean. We've had issues in Texas and in New Orleans and just all over. And fires in California. There seems to be so many, unfortunately, disasters that when we look at ways to make things better or how to deal with them more appropriately, why wouldn't drones be in the picture? It seems to me that would be appropriate.
That's exactly correct, Dave. And that's one of the things that we're really hoping to shed some light on here. Just letting people know how these tools can be used both before, during, and after some kind of disaster situation.
Hmm. And so that's interesting. You mentioned before, I don't know about the during part in a hurricane with a drone. they don't fly big jetliners or even keep them in town. I don't know what a drone will do, but we'll get to that. But let's talk about the before. If you're anticipating a disaster or, you know, there's a hurricane coming, so you know there may be some issues with a wildfire that might get into a certain area, do you then deploy and say, let's take pictures so we've got before and after? Or are you helping, you know, folks that are first responders to deal with the problem? So tell me what it is that Drone Deploy does.
That's a great question. So we're a drone mapping software company, as you said. So we basically help people take really high-resolution 3D snapshots of the world.
Hmm.
And those snapshots can be used in a variety of different ways. And so one example in that before situation is we've helped a bunch of Californians with potential landslide areas where we know that there's a risk of rockfall, that there's a risk of a landslide before the rainy season, so that they can get a better sense of what are the big at-risk areas. We've worked with trying to identify rising tides in certain areas so that if a big weather event does happen, we're able to see where will that water break first.
Oh, okay.
And
sure.
Helping people prepare for this ahead of time, I think, is one thing that this can be really helpful for if we know that there is an at-risk area.
I've heard that surveyors, for example, the last few years have been using drones very successfully. And again, even that makes sense on routine kinds of surveys. I would imagine it's also faster, probably less expensive. It seems to me that they would get results much quicker even in a survey environment. Or is it that accurate?
Yeah, well, the amazing thing, if you think of a survey, is a man will be going out with a big total station or a rover, and he'll be taking those GPS measurements, and he does that in a big grid.
Mm-hmm.
And so at each point in that grid, he has some data. But the grid is obviously quite sparse because generally they're surveying quite a large area of land. So you'll have 100 or 1,000 points over a good 10-100 acres or something like that. Whereas with the drone, every pixel becomes a data measurement. And so what you end up with is a much, much higher resolution measurement that you come out with at the end. So you'll end up having millions and millions of data points instead of just 100.
Wow. And especially, it sounds to me like if you're surveying, as you mentioned, a rather large piece of property, for example, you probably don't have to employ so many people to go out with lasers and devices and tripods and whatnot, if the drone can do that work and then some.
Exactly. And these things fly themselves, which is wonderful. So all you have to do is press go, and Drone Deploy makes the drone take off, fly around, capture all of that data. And we then process that data to create those 3D maps and models, and then have some tools to do the analysis, to understand, what is the change, where the at-risk area is, what is the volume of this stockpile, how much dirt will it take to fill this hole, those types of questions.
So I'm assuming then these drone maps are probably very easy to share and somewhat actionable as well at that point?
Exactly. And that's, I think, another great reason why this is fantastic data to have in a situation where there's a PINA disaster. Because all of this stuff that we're doing is cloud-based, it's all living in the internet, it becomes very easy to share and distribute that knowledge with other people. And when that map gets updated because of a new drone flight, then the updated version is suddenly what everyone gets. Mm. And as people start adding annotations, like, a big marker saying, I found the person over here, or, there's a big risk area in this zone, everyone can be looking at that same data set.
Yeah, it's certainly a lot more useful information than just, God forbid, well, that used to be my home or something like that.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, the before and after, you're going to get that kind of information as well. But that there's a lot more detail, as you mentioned, to be able to use for these kinds of mapping things. Tell me about how drones can save lives as well as a result of what you have done.
Yeah, so in the hurricane-type situation, as an example, when there's been this massive flooding that results, there will be people stuck on roofs, and often there's big torrents of water that are raging down through streets and avenues. And trying to first identify where are these people can be quite complicated and difficult. But then once you have found these people, to try and give them the life vests or that initial guide rope that you can start sending larger items across with. We've seen a whole host of rescue operations over the last year or two where a drone has been that first point of contact, that initial, you know, identification or delivery of that first guide wire.
Wow. Yeah, good point. I mean, there seems to be very little reason why it couldn't bring that first light piece of rope to then pull additional help.
Exactly, yeah.
That's awesome. Are insurance companies using the material from these drone mappings so far to do things like assess damage, whether it's before potential damage can occur or after the case, after, say, a hurricane or other natural
disaster? Yeah, definitely. We've been working with a number, and even just looking at some of the disasters in the U.S. recently, even though the FAA initially said no drones can fly in these areas, particularly in somewhere like Houston, within a couple of days, there were hundreds of flights and operations that had been greenlit by the FAA in order to go out and to help with the identification of people, as well as helping with the understanding of what the extent of the damage is and where do we need to reprioritize or reappropriate our resources.
Which certainly made a huge difference. So it wasn't just people defying the law. It was the FAA saying, no, we get it. This absolutely needs to be done. Go for it. Let's save lives. Let's, you know, determine property losses and things of that nature.
Exactly. And then what the insurance companies are doing with this as well is, you know, there have been talks of using things like satellites as well as using things like manned aircraft. But, you know, if you look at all of the skies and all of the pictures, there are a lot of clouds. There's still a lot of weather that's happening. And the drones are able to fly at a very low altitude below all of that weather. So they're able to capture data even when the conditions may not be ideal.
Yeah, true. And a satellite's not going to get through a really cloudy day. And a low-flying plane is very dangerous to fly under the clouds in that sense. So this makes the perfect sense.
Yeah. And then being able to action on that data so quickly means that instead of waiting many, many weeks to try and turn around that claim, what we can do is create that digital snapshot immediately. And we have that for posterity. If we need to go back and do additional measurements or whatever that is, we can use that snapshot, and the people on the ground can get on with their lives. They can go and carry on fixing up their houses and starting to address the issues that they've been facing while the claim is being adjusted, because we have that snapshot. And because the drones are able to capture that data so quickly and we can process and analyze it so quickly, we're able to start turning around those claims in a matter of hours instead of weeks.
That's awesome. Makes a huge difference. I've heard of local roofers in South Florida, for example, that are using drones to assess damage on roofs because they don't have enough personnel because of the roof issues and leaks that occurred in so many homes and whatnot to be able to just go all the time. I mean, they're weeks behind in doing estimates. So if you put a drone up and shows the damage and where it is and where they've got to concentrate, they have, as you say, that immediate knowledge and can do something a whole lot more effective
and so much safer as well. If you think of, you know, the reason these guys are going to fix the roof is because there's something fundamentally wrong with it, and then to try and get on a ladder and climb around on top of that roof to understand what's going on, that's pretty dangerous for that roofer.
Yeah, very true. Now, it sounds, of course, like drones can certainly be helping with all kinds of natural disasters, but I'm thinking there's got to be limitations as well with drone deployment. What things are not in our favor to be able to use drones?
Yeah, I mean, the big one right now is just coordination. There are over 40,000 registered pilots with the FAA for drones that have passed their Part 107 commercial drone pilot's license. So there's a good group of people who are pretty excited to help out, to have technology, but there's no great way for us right now to coordinate them. When you think of, you know, something like the amateur radio emergency services, which is a similar type of a movement with licensed amateur radio operators, they've got a great framework for trying to develop how volunteers can assist in these disaster-type situations. We should try and do something equivalent, because we certainly don't want to get in the way of rescue helicopters or manned aircraft or anything like that. But I feel like with good coordination, we could operate collaboratively.
Yeah, very good point, and very important point, too, because, for example, with wildfires, you've got helicopters and planes flying low to dump retardant and water and whatnot. You don't need a drone getting tied up in their lines or worse as well. So kudos to you guys at DroneDeploy.com for helping to make a difference. Jono, I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. I can see there's much more to talk about as we fly further into tomorrow, so let's make sure we get you back, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having the time, Dave. Appreciate it.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-665-6113. 800-665-6113.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-665-6113. 800-665-6113. 800-665-6113.
Even with the latest self-driving incident, self-driving transportation is coming faster than you think. Millennials, the tech-savvy generation, if you will, have more faith in cars that drive themselves than a lot of the rest of us do. So stay tuned into tomorrow, and we'll see how that all works out. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Eddie Palermo.
I'm Chris Graveline. Don't forget that you can listen to all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow via our free Into Tomorrow app and by visiting our website at intotomorrow.com. Streaming is provided by StreamGuys.com.
Sam in Ontario, Canada, welcome Into Tomorrow.
I was wondering if there is a way to block a VPN. My 14-year-old daughter is using a VPN to get around some of my security settings.
Ooh.
Now, my router's a little older, and so maybe that's an issue. I have been using the Circle by Disney. I love it, but her VPN seems to get around things.
Well, Sam, first of all, congrats at being a good dad, because you're obviously concerned and you're trying to do some things to make life better. And welcome, though, to your household's own arms race. Your digital native teen will often have the upper hand. Now, we do have some good news for you. The Netgear's Circle with Disney Router actually has a setting to block VPNs and proxy sites. There's a good chance that doing that won't work, but even their own website says that it may not if they're not recognized as VPNs, virtual private networks, or proxies. Now, having said that, it's an on-off setting on the router, so you might as well give it a try. You can also block the port your daughter is using to access the VPN. Your Circle router lets you examine the data traffic on the network, so you may be able to spot the port that's being used. Then you can simply block that specific port. And you can also schedule off hours so that she cannot use her devices to access the internet at certain times, maybe when you're not there, to monitor her.
There's no guarantee of anything. If your teen is savvy enough, she may be able to use a different VPN that uses a different port and keep on going.
Yeah, and it'll keep you going, Dad, as well, trying to make it work.
Yeah, now, since you're talking about a 14-year-old, there's a decent chance that she also has access to a phone that can provide clean internet access independently from your router.
Yeah.
From a technical perspective, you can restrict her access, but she'll probably be better at getting around your roadblocks than you'll be at building them.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So, you know, you'd probably be better off trying to teach her why she shouldn't go to certain sites or take away access to the device. If she has a smartphone, you're going to have an extra hard time keeping her offline if she doesn't want to be.
Yeah. Now, in the meantime, check out STAAP. It's an interview we did a while back with their founder, STAAP, and see if that'll help you. Intotomorrow.com for more.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-948-6519. 800-948-6519. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-948-6519. 800-948-6519. 800-948-6519. That's 800-948-6519. NMLS number 1136.
Depending on who you ask, virtual reality is either coming on strong or heading for the cliff. Well, what do you think, our audience? Are you using VR for anything? Do you have any desire or interest in VR, AR, or even artificial intelligence? We want to hear from you. 800-899-INTO. 800-899-4686. I'm Dave Graveline, Erasmo in the control room.
I'm Chris Graveline.
And I'm Eddie Palermo. This portion of Into Tomorrow brought to you by the OWC Thunderblade. For the creative professional who needs the absolute fastest storage with transfer speeds up to 2,800 megabytes per second, learn more at owcdigital.com.
Do you get our once-a-week free tech newsletter? You absolutely should.
I get it on all my email addresses.
Okay, but how does one get it when they don't already get it?
Oh, it's very simple. You stop by intotomorrow.com, enter your email address, and the box will pop up. And then follow the instructions in the email, and you're in.
There you go. It's called a double opt-in program. You'll get a subsequent email that says, click this link, because we don't spam anyone, and we don't share your email address with anyone either. It's safe with us. Oh, and by the way, if you have any digital dilemmas that we can help solve for you, maybe a question about consumer tech now or 3 o'clock in the morning next Thursday, whatever the case, call us anytime, 24-7, 800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686. And we'll meet you at intotomorrow.com.
Bringing you the latest in consumer electronics and technology, this has been Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. To participate with Dave and his tech geniuses and win prizes anytime 24-7, use our free Into Tomorrow app for your iPhone, Android, and netbooks, available in your app store, or call 1-800-899-INTO. That's 1-800-899-4686. Be sure to visit our website anytime to read our show notes and watch our ITTV videos at intotomorrow.com. And join us next week as we bring you further Into Tomorrow.